This is the first Sunday of the month, and therefore there will be a second collection for the work of the Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison. When you write out the check, which I'm sure you're going happily to give in the second collection, and you're adding those zeros, just remember that it's make it out to the Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison. This goes to the society, not to the parish. You can see the part of the fruit of your work in supporting the society on me and on the altar today. We have a new set of vestments. I, alas, am not the one who was able to inaugurate them. I believe that Father Iam used them last week. I was sent photos of him getting ready in the sacristy, and I could tell, even from the photo, that he was practically vibrating with joy at being able to put on these spectacular new vestments. He has a penchant for green, and we are very pleased to have these. This is part of the work of the society, everything that has to do with the beauty of our rites is something that we're going to try to support through vestments. We'll be having new efforts in music and so forth as time rolls on. When you love something, you want to do the very best with it, and you want to share it with others, and that's what we're doing by trying to bring great beauty into our liturgical rites, because we are our rites. When we make Mass more splendid, we help, hopefully, by our good, full, and active, and real, you know, true, real, actual participation in those rites. We hopefully make our own souls more beautiful as well. And then that's something that we can bring back out into the world according to our own vocations. This is something that's important to understand, that what we internalize of Holy Mass then has to have external expression out after that, within the church itself during the rites, but also afterwards when you go out the doors. What you internalize here then has to be given expression out there in word and in deed. Now, one of the ways in which one might externalize things within a church, I've got a good example of that. I brought, while I was in Rome and attending some of the masses at the parish where I usually go to say Mass, I happened to click on my little voice memo thing on the phone at one point during the end of the creed. And I'll just give you an idea of what it sounds like in a Roman parish. Just for a moment, just be patient with me for a moment here. We can just maybe see if this will work over the sound system. That's not the choir. That's the congregation. Do you recognize that? Here's Cardinal Burke now. I sing better than he does. And the congregation sing better than you do. So, I think I've made my point. What we internalize needs outward expression. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have two magnificent readings today. We'll make just a couple points about them. First of all, we have this wonderful image from Paul, so apt for our days. Such chaos and crazy stuff we see going on in the world and inside the church itself. Crazy stuff. My last month in Rome, I was hearing an awful lot of things that weren't published about the synod that was going on and all sorts of strange things. You would be absolutely horrified, as I was. But this is a time of great honor for us. Of all of the universes God could have created, He created this one. He called us into existence in this time, not some other time, not some ideal time. There never was an ideal time. He called us into this time, and he gives us something, a role to play in this world, in this church. And if the times are difficult, if they're crazy, if there are all sorts of things going on, if we are going to be set and even persecuted in the future, it is an honor to be called into this time. And the Lord is going to offer us terrific graces, beautiful, wonderful graces. The harder the times, the more graces we are going to be offered. Will you be ready to accept them? Can you accept those graces according to your vocations, whatever your vocation happens to be? We have to make ourselves ready to receive everything the Lord wants to give in the manner that He has chosen to give it. We have to submit ourselves to that, submit ourselves to our state in life and the will of God and the times we're in. But Paul talks about not being helpless in the face of the world, in the face of the flesh, in the face of the devil. Put on the armor of God, he says. Put on the breastplate of justice. Take up the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. Every single one of you who are baptized, you are warriors of the church militant. You are not helpless. You have terrific spiritual gifts. Those of you who are confirmed are even greater warriors in the church, given a sacrament to make you strong, no matter what might happen. Now, as you contemplate what this might mean for you in your vocation, what does it mean for you to put on the armor of God? Every warrior going into battle has to make sure that his armor is ready. There are lots of equipment checks and so forth that one has to do again and again and again and again and again, so that you move automatically, knowing exactly what everything, where everything is supposed to be, that everything is in place. You know how to use everything. That means practice, 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 repetition, 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 diligence, diligence, perseverance. You make sure that your armor is clean. You don't want muck or rust. You want to burnish that armor and make it gleam and reflect the light that is being shown upon you in the grace of God. You want to burnish that armor. You want to polish that armor. The armor that should make you invulnerable to the attacks of hell, as Paul is describing, the attacks of the flesh, the attacks of the world. Now, in a great irony, and it's an irony, now what we do is we turn, see, what is Holy Church trying to tell us by putting that reading about that armor with this gospel parable about forgiveness? Now, there is a point in this for our November as we get into the end of the liturgical year when we begin to contemplate more of the four last things. There is that line in there that the man would be thrown into prison until he should pay all that was due to him. And this could be a scriptural reference to the reality of purgatory, because we will have to somehow do penance and reparation for the temporal punishment due to sin if we haven't done it in this life and we die in the friendship of God. Please God that we all do. Then we will have time of purification and penance, because only the pure see God. Before we enter into heaven, we'll have a purification time. And so that line about him paying all that was due to him is a reminder to all of us that we are going to pay all that is due. You know, God's justice we are going to get whether we want it or not, but his mercy we can always ask for. And so there are also helps from God, things like indulgences. We have time now while our hearts beat and we draw our breath, do penance, make reparation. We have time now. So that's one point that we can take from that gospel reading. But there's a way in which we can also use that gospel reading to look at what Paul is talking about with this, the invulnerability that's suggested by putting on armor. What's going on with this? The last thing that we take is that Christ taught that as the King had forgiven all, so we must also forgive all. If we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. Forgiveness has something to do with the armor of God. At least on this Sunday, Holy Church has put these two readings together. In vulnerability, you stand there, everything bounces off, glances off your armor. Nothing touches you. Nothing gets in. Nothing gets out. Well, that's not really what Christian armor is. Christian armor, in a way, also involves an element of vulnerability. It's an irony that Christian invulnerability comes through vulnerability. You think about our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, how vulnerable a person she was. Imagine in that society finding herself to be with child and nobody understanding that this is from the Holy Spirit. Imagine how vulnerable she was in that time. She and Joseph and the Holy Family, how vulnerable they were when Herod was hunting them and they had to flee. You think about how vulnerable the great martyrs were. Think about how vulnerable our Lord himself was. It was in his absolute vulnerability, his humiliation, that he was the strongest. It is when he was the most in the form of a slave, beaten down, bruised, and ripped beyond the recognition of a man, that he was the most mighty. Our Christian armor also involves the kind of vulnerability which allows us to open up that breastplate and expose ourselves to pain even and say, forgive me. Or, sometimes even harder, I forgive you. In another place, Paul talks about not letting the sun going down in your wrath. Our Lord talks about if you have anything against your brother, leave your sacrifice before the altar and go and make up. Reconcile. This is part of what it is to put on the armor of God. To make yourself invulnerable to the true enemy, sometimes we have to make ourselves vulnerable to others. Learning how to forgive can be very hard. Learning how to be forgiven is also very difficult. Learning how to forgive yourself can be a terrific challenge. But remember that there is no thing that we can do that is so terrible that the infinite love of God, infinite power of God, will not forgive. There's nothing we little limited mortals can do that an omnipotent, loving God will not forgive. This is the example of the King. He forgives us no matter what. No matter how terrible the sin, forgiveness can be ours. With that confidence, we also do at times have to work and struggle to forgive ourselves. The memory of the sins we will always have. Even when they are removed through the sacrament of penance. But learning how to forgive and truly be reconciled with great confidence in our Savior God is part of the lesson that's learned by putting on God's armor and burnishing it and polishing it and drilling with it day in and day out. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. So many beautiful gifts we have been given in the examples of the saints about how to be invulnerably vulnerable. Make this part of your examination of conscience at some point. Remember to ask yourself at times about the past. Have you reconciled adequately? Have you done adequate penance? Have you made up for things that you've done to harm others? Have you begun finally to forgive yourself for other things that you have done that maybe were very difficult? Put on the armor of God. Put it on correctly as a good Christian. Vulnerably and vulnerable. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.